It's the return of Brock Lesnar, the return of the Congratulations Bear, and a 2 out of 3 tag team match coming out now, Raw.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, we get to play this music again, y'all. Welcome to the WWE AfterBuzz TV After Show. It's June 12th, and we're coming from here. I'm having all the brain farts tonight. Tonight, I have two amazing guests with me. We have Jay Washington. He's from the Trusty Sidekick podcast, stand-up comedian, actor, and you also know him as the Urban Gladiator Trauma.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me back. I'm glad to be back.
Nice. And next to him, we have Iffy Wadaways, comedian. He is the host of Ready to Ramble on Hyper RPG.
Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? Let's go!
I like to imagine that people aren't in the chat room. They're just sitting in front
you
of
sound
us.
Like a DJ in the front. Are y'all ready to rumble?
And then, of course, in the booth and the ones and twos, we have Mark in the booth. Oh, I cannot hear you
Mark,
at all.
Mark
but I'm sure he just said something. I'm sure it was witty.
It's probably pretty witty. I don't know. I'll try again later.
Okay, well, welcome to the Raw After Show. We were at the Cajun Dome in Lafayette, Louisiana, and we opened with a video package of the upcoming Raw exclusive Great Balls of Fire, because that is on its way.
Okay, I think we're going to kick this off and jump right into the thing I pointed out to both Jay and Markia when we were watching, how, you know, about almost 40 years ago, a little under or over 40 years ago, when WrestleMania first started, the original name was going to be the Colossal Tussle. And then they realized how bad of an idea that was and, you know, changed it to WrestleMania. And I like to say that Vince was banned from names after that. And the ban went up and his first pick was the Great Balls of Fire.
It was like, Vince, all right, Vince, we got some great news for you. What is it? There's a ban lifted. My God, we can call the Hardys broken? No, not that one.
Never that one. We would love that too much.
We're going to talk about Benoit again? Not that either. What is it? You get to name pay-per-views again. Really? I've got a name. It's going to be great. It's going to be fire. What is it, Vince? Great Balls of Fire!
There we go.
And everybody was just looking like, sure?
Yeah. I know, but silently filing paperwork for the next band. Like,
you sure on this, Vince? You sure?
Yeah, but after this promo, we did start off with Paul Heyman coming out with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
Do it again.
Brock Lesnar.
This is so cute to see him. I don't know if y'all paid attention to Marquis's face because the strumpf, not strength, strumpf that was in there. Brock Lesnar.
Look, Marquis is a professional. She's going to go for it. And
yes,
she went for it.
And she went for it.
I'm
going to
go the 110. Yes, but he is here to release the beast. You know, Heyman, he put Samoa Joe over. He says he was like a shark luring him in and then taking him out. And then he whispered sweet nothings in his ear. Oh, no, wait, it wasn't sweet nothings. It was exactly what he was going to do to him, which was put the coquina clutch on him in the middle of the ring and not let up, even when 4 refs tried to get him off of him.
I love it the way Heyman is putting Joe over. He's not burying him. Mm-hmm. Because I honestly believe if it wasn't Joe or Braun Strowman, he would probably bury anybody else.
Well, I think it's also because he's just so big. So you need someone who's just as big as him, to look like, because he has to stomp on anyone.
Well,
less.
But here's the thing. If it was Roman Reigns, he would bury Reigns is about the same. We've seen Reigns and Lesnar. I believe Heyman would go into burying Reigns just off general. Wouldn't even try to be burying him, but he'd be burying him. But with Joe, he's like, oh, you for real?
Yes.
You're for real.
Yeah. In fact, he even says that he thought, you know, Samoa Joe, this is from last week where he's the worst case scenario, that he wanted someone who could go man to beast with the champ. But then he also brings up, so how many Samoans have been in the business? You know, they're very proud of their accomplishments. You know, they really believe in family. But yet they don't bring up Samoa Joe. No, in fact, Heyman calls Samoa Joe a mutt punk dog.
Damn.
Yes, whose crowning moment was putting the coquina clutch on Heyman. Which, that is not true.
That is not true.
That is not true.
That man's crowning moment has been on his whole entire career lineage through Ring of Honor, TNA.
Oh, yeah.
What he did, he was one of the founders of the X Division as a big dude. So, like, I get it for the WWE universe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I also everybody forgets about that. Like, there is a distinct strong Samoan legacy in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Look, they're both on. Two proud Samoan daughters are on both Raw and SmackDown right now. Yes. The SmackDown tag champs are sons of a Hall of Famer.
I mean, and also, like, you could, all my people in LA, you go down to Knox Pro.
You go down
to
Knox. Yep. Shouts out to my homies.
The Samoan legacy.
Shout out to Samoan dynasty. Shouts out to the homies Black Pearl and the big man, Keish.
Yeah. I didn't know that was his school, but my boy, he's going there. So I went to, you know, I went out to support, you know, it's so funny the parallel between stand up and wrestling. Bruh. So he's like, hey, come to the show. And I came to the show. And man, when Rikishi came out, I lost my mind.
Because, you know, it's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You see him and you're like, wait, I get to be that up close and personal. And then have you talked to Keish?
No, I don't think so.
If you ever get a chance to talk to Rikishi, which I believe you would love him more than anything. He is such the most grounded, humble, down-to-earth dude. You'd be like, but you're Rikishi. You're tonight, you know, the dance dude. You're all that. And he's just like, brother, listen, Oos. Like, he'll call you Oos in a minute. He'd be like, I'm family now.
Oh, nice.
Once he starts calling you, like, I'm family. I'm good. Yeah. But, yeah, the Samoan legacy is so extensive. Joe is a different part. Joe is Samoan, but not of that legacy, of that lineage. Because we've seen that family picture with all the Anois. I can't pronounce the last name for nothing. Forgive me.
I know what you mean.
Okay.
Chat room, if you want to do that phonetically for us.
Please.
Yeah.
But when you see that picture of that legacy and that lineage, Joe's not part of that. That's why Joe is like, I'm Samoa Joe. I'm my own. And nice. I've always respected him for that.
Nice. And speaking of Samoa Joe, I mean, he interrupts. he gets into the ring with Brock Lesnar. Didn't think he was going to do it. But he does. Yeah. He goes toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar and delivers what I call the headbutt of unexpected devastation. They get to scrapping. Security comes in. Security is not enough for Samoa Joe. In fact, they have to have the entire Raw locker room.
The locker room that's not working tonight, pretty much.
pretty much everybody. There was just about everybody. We saw. Yeah, we saw Enzo.
Titus in his suit.
Titus was in his suit. I already said Enzo. The Revival.
The Revival.
Scott and Dash were there.
So, what are we going to do with that? Like, is Dash that was hurt, right? Was it Dash Wilder?
Was it Dash that had the broken jaw?
I feel like it was Dash.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dash has got it. So it's a broken jaw. So now it's like, all right, can you come back? Because the Revival's supposed to talk. So they're like, can you talk yet? All right, just put your shirts on. Don't run about.
Yeah. Go ahead and run up out there.
How did you feel, Ife and Marquia? How did you feel about the way Joe just came out, said nothing, just went straight to work?
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's my favorite thing ever. I think if we jump ahead a little bit, I think the next time that happened that got us excited is when our girl Sasha Banks came up in there. I know at a party, and we were talking about this. We played it back twice. The way she hit her with the mic being so close, it made it sound so crisp. It's the best.
It was beautiful.
I feel like it's the best sound work since the super kick, which everyone knows the way to get that crisp
is to pop that thigh
with that leather chap.
Shouts out Steve Boss teaching us all that in Chicago.
But with all this muscle, they finally were able to separate Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe for Samoa Joe to then kick Brock Lesnar in the face. But then they separated them again.
Which, by the way, did you look at Brock's face?
Oh, he was not having any of that.
Brock knew what, you know, again, we know how things go.
Yeah.
Brock knew what the rumble was going to be, but that kick, Brock had this look like you mother.
Yeah, that was an improv piece. He took liberty.
Yeah.
He was like, yes, and this. That's a little inside baseball for Oma.
He definitely took some liberties. So going off of this fantastic opening segment, we have Elias Sampson. Elias Sampson, he's a man with a guitar and a spotlight in the middle of a ring.
And 80,000 scarves on his wrist like he's Johnny Depp.
He has one question. Who wants to walk with Elias?
No one.
There's a lot of aggression in the air, we'll say. And he wants to ease the tension.
I don't like the him. I like the drifter, Elias Sampson. Mm-hmm. When they just had, when he before, right after the shakeup, when he was just walking in the background, yeah, playing the guitar. Now you got him singing, doing just, I have a little ditty I wrote for y'all this week.
Well, it was inspired by Louisiana. And it was basically Louisiana's the laughing stock of the USA. Cajun yeah. should be caged up. And then he started busting on Ambrose and was interrupted by Ambrose.
One said, Dean, doesn't, but I looked at when he was dissing Louisiana as a whole. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's from Louisiana.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
like, are you sure? Like, you just.
So you want to go there?
You want to go there? I mean, like, you look like you're from here. I guess I'm just not understanding the whole Elias Sampson, Dean Ambrose angle when you still have Dean Ambrose and The Miz. Because it's like the whole Elias Sampson, if you're trying to get him over.
I see what you mean.
If you're trying to get Elias over as with the crowd, it's like his angle gets pushed by the wayside. Because we don't care about that as much as we care about The Miz and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I get it. You need somebody to put Elias Sampson with. And mm-hmm. clearly, the way they act like on Raw for a three-hour show, there's nobody to put him
over. Yeah, there wasn't anybody in the locker room that you know, pulled Brock and
you know,
Samoa
there's
Joe.
Nobody you can work that program saying. With. But yeah. you're putting him up against a dude who's already in the midst of a program against the Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. So it's like that guy's going to drown out. No matter how good his matches are, which the match he had with Dean Ambrose was pretty good. No matter how good his matches are, his promo skills or whatever that they build up, you're going to get overshadowed by the fact that Dean Ambrose isn't thinking about dude.
Yeah. That's a side quest.
So we have a match between Elias and Ambrose, of course. You know, it starts off with some stiff grappling. You know, Ambrose gets a nice arm lock in, but then Sampson does a hair grab, and I think a cheap shot with that gut shot, but whatever. You know, Ambrose has a spinning elbow and a chop. Elias needs a breather, and that breather delivers a very vicious clothesline. My God. Some Stomp City in the corner. You know, you get chin locks on Ambrose in the middle of the ring. And this was one of my favorite parts where the Louisiana crowd got involved and they start chanting, "You can't sing. You can't wrestle." Wow. Love you. I mean, Louisiana.
I really have a personal thing about, there's some people who can't wrestle legit. We've seen it, right? Mm. First of all, if anybody says Elias Sampson can't wrestle, you got to give dude credit. He is wrestling in skinny jeans. In skinny jeans with knee pads on under him, because you can see his knee pads and wrestling boots. He can move in the ring in them. Mm-hmm. He's not wearing those for fashion. He's wearing them for function. But also, there are guys who still do the old school way of working. They're not spot. They're guys who tell a story. This match told a story. There's wrestling theory. It still happens. Give that man some credit. Besides the whole singing with the guitar thing. Because like the only somebody said it before. The only person I want to see with a guitar is Jeff Jarrett, the honky tonk. That was Denise last week. You only want to see certain people with guitars. And I get it. If you're going to do it, have them doing the walkthrough. But the whole singing, who wants to walk with Elias? Just bring me Batista to Batista Bomb real quick and say, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 on DVD. I'll be like,
Drax! Volume 3 in 2020.
Right, I'll be like, oh my God, did you see Drax? He gonna be so amazing with Infinity Wars.
But continuing the match, we get a beautiful perfect plex by Ambrose. Elias still so kicks out at 2. That was very nicely executed.
Beautiful.
That was very nice.
Fisherman suplex, also known as the perfect plex, made famous by the late great Curt Hennig.
Really?
Yeah, you remember the perfect plex? That was Curt Hennig's finisher. It was a fisherman suplex, hooked in, boom, 1, 2, 3, called it the perfect plex. Before, again, basic wrestling days. You didn't have to have it. Remember, the DDT was a finisher for the longest.
Yes, and I love it. It looks like something you'd have in a video game. Yes. And it is in the video game.
It looks like something you'd do somebody in real life, though.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like in the lunchroom. Be like, hey, I need to talk to you for a second.
Like, come here, bring
and then,
head.
Like, do a wall rock.
You know, but something like that, I loved it and appreciated it.
Yeah. Oh, and happy birthday to Carlos 09E in the chat room. Thanks for being
here. Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday, buddy.
You're
my birthday, birdie. This is your birthday song. This is your birthday song. Hey, buddy. Happy birthday to you. Hey, buddy. This is your birthday song.
Give this man a guitar. Give him a guitar to spotlight.
You ready to walk this line with Iffy?
Iffy. Oh, goodness. Okay, but for... Oh, we broke Jay. For Elias versus Ambrose. So Elias tried for a superplex from the top rope.
Oh, my God.
Ambrose headbutts. So that was all the no. So the Miz and Maryse run out as a distraction. Ambrose goes for them. Maryse is utilized as a wall. And Ambrose gets back in the ring because he's about to get counted out. And instead, for his trouble, he gets a double knee stomp to the middle of his spine by Elias. And a swinging neck breaker, Elias gets a W.
How do you all feel about Maryse keeps being used as the shield for the Miz? Like, every time Ambrose wore it, people like, I got a woman.
It's just one time. It's just going to be an accident. It's just going to happen.
And then we'll just go back to the attitude area and just straight up suplex her through a
table. Suplex the women through. I'm mad that they let go. I'm mad that they traded Dean Ambrose from SmackDown just for the fact that they kept Renee Young on SmackDown. And we never got to see that promo that could have been built up with the Miz and Maryse doing things like they did Cena and Nikki Bella. Can you imagine the Miz doing Dean Ambrose in the alleys and stuff?
Yeah.
Renee, this is where I live at. What is this? It's a cardboard box.
He'd have a lot of fun with that.
He would have too much fun. But
oh, he'd be so dirty. He'd just be so dirty in the face.
He won't just drink. What is it? I don't know either.
Like, yeah, and you know, I feel like we did kind of skip over how good that bit was that they were making fun of.
Couples? Yeah. Yes!
Yeah, they should bring that back and just really just use it. Because it, also, like, you know, a lot of people were up in the air of how they felt about the WrestleMania match, but I do think it was cool to see, like, these couples matches. Like, you know, I feel like they're aren't enough couples in the WWE to have it go on constantly, but it shouldn't be constant. It should be like a nice little treat every now and then. Like,
yes.
Yeah, well, treats are nice.
Treats are nice.
I'm a big dessert person.
I mean, we get a lot of couples in the WWE that they play storylines and angles with. I mean, there are... I don't know how many we know of for sure on Raw beside the Cruiserweights, because they're not going to have the Cruiserweights angles with the story, with the relationships carry over to the main roster. You know, but there are different things that you can see. Because after what they did for that Cena Bella build up was the greatest to be in his house. in his house. I told you not to look at me with the cameras up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And they even brought that for when all three of them were brought to Raw. That was the first thing that they did in the ring together. So that was pretty great.
It was great.
But moving along with Raw, we have the Shattered Dreams Productions with Goldust, where you have to keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Godfather Part 2, 1974. And basically, it's R-Truth is jealous. He's scared. You know, I got to you before you could get to me type of a deal. The Golden Age. Is back.
Oh, time.
Okay.
Timing
was epic.
Mark, killing it.
That was
killing
it. Do you think? Do you think this is their way to get ready to send them off?
Oh yeah. I think this is his like.
I think this is both of them. Yeah. I think this is both of them to send them off.
You know, I didn't even think about that until you said it.
Because the thing is, he's gone back to Goldust. The only other thing you can do is get him to make up with his ex-wife for one program. Get him to some. Hey, Terry, I need you for this promo to be golden. Just see what she says real quick. Like, can you do it? Because like, this is what they're doing. They're sending them both out because again, they're transitioning out of everything. The attitude, everything attitude, everything ruthless aggression. They letting it all go. This is new era. So I think this is the way they send them off. You don't have to have them buried by anybody else. It's two of those guys that were around that time. You letting them go. And Goldust going back to being the evil Goldust, the one that made Razor Ramon uncomfortable, the one where Razor Ramon was like, I'm not going to do that. Remember when he got the tattoo, he did the tattoo on his chest that said Razor?
Yeah.
You remember that? Goldust had a tattoo on his chest that said Razor in a heart. Oh. And Scott Hall was like, hey man, he going a little too far here. Yeah. Scott Hall was like, I'm not going to do this.
And so then we have The Miz backstage with Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle is mad. Miz is messing up. Angle already has to deal with Brock and Samoa Joe, and Miz is like, Ambrose ruined the Intercontinental Comeback Tour. Want you to fire and suspend Ambrose, but Kurt is like, never speak to me that way again.
And Kurt looked like he needed to take his blood pressure medication because he was looking red.
He was like, I will do nothing. Kurt, do something.
Kurt is so committed. He was like, I got to look mad for this. I'm going to slap my face a few times, get nice and red. So it was like,
but it wasn't even Kurt's face, just was red. The whole head was like his whole blood, that one vein that you always see on the side of Kurt Angle's head. It was like, I'm going to kill you. Keep talking to me. I swear to God, I will angle slam you back in.
I like that the vein is talking. It's like a Deadpool comic in the vein.
The vein has its own personality.
So then we get a package for Cedric Alexander. Yes, he is part of the Cruiserweight division. We haven't seen him for a while on Raw, but he is. So this reminded us about that. And that led into the segment of Noam Dar backstage with Cedric. With Cedric in the locker room, and Cedric is basically done with Fox Star. Alicia Fox and Noam Dar. Alicia Fox is on the speakerphone. She's laid up with a neck injury, and it looks like Cedric and Dar are going to throw down.
But she don't want to hang up the phone.
No. She wants to be there the entire time. Oh, yeah. In fact, she stays on FaceTime the entire time as we go into the actual match where we follow Noam Dar and he goes into the ring. She's not only on FaceTime, she's on the Tron.
Yeah. Which, shout out to the production team. The first time they did that was with Tyler Breeze. When Tyler Breeze used to come out.
I loved those entrances.
So they used to do that with Tyler Breeze. But the fact they took the FaceTime and was like, no, we keep it up the entire match.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they did. And she was in a neck brace because, you know, neck injury.
Yeah, those happen really severe.
She was extremely vocal during that FaceTime. You know, it was a very big deal to not hang up.
Communication.
Right. Well, the match itself was about as long as the replay of the match where... Cedric Alexander delivers a lumbar check, so it's a squash, and he gets the W.
I've been wondering this. Would you guys like to see the Cruiserweights just be considered part of Raw instead of them doing
having their own? Well,
I mean, no. 205 Live is cool.
Yeah.
205 Live is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But instead of this whole... Right between commercial breaks, you got the whole production crew coming out, taking off one layer of tape to reveal the purple, to turn the colors around. We know they're Cruiserweights. Let them be on Raw.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, that makes more sense. That shouldn't even happen, I think. Especially since they do have 205.
They have the 205 Live.
Yeah, they have their own brand and content. There's no reason to do it. As a matter of fact, I think, and this might be controversial to some, I think Cruiserweights should be pulled out of Raw and SmackDown, and they should do a better job of pushing up 205 Live.
I definitely agree with you. Own
show, because there's not enough room, and it sounds crazy since we're talking about a 3-hour show, but I feel like we pull out the Cruiserweights, pump up 205 Live, and in that space give a slot for women's division, because I feel like that's why we keep getting these crappy like matchups, is because you only have one match and you can't build a story for multiple people with one match. So you're going to keep getting this Bayley, you're going to keep getting the same Alexa Bliss, you're not going to get to see anyone else play, and then you're going to wonder why these women are falling by the wayside. But it's like, there's no way to show
them
off.
You're not giving them enough opportunity.
Yeah, you're
going to
keep having these in-ring powwows where all the women from backstage
like
come out.
All of them at one time. And it's like, I agree with that. I'm like, why would you do all of them just to have us only really focus on two?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, we're going to bring all of them. I just think with 205 Live, I get it, because I've heard the stories how after they tape Smack, because 205 Live is directly after SmackDown.
Right.
People will leave the arena. So, which is unfortunate, but you brought up a great point earlier, Marquia, when we were watching Raw. Who should they move from the main roster?
Kalisto.
I think that would keep
people. He dominated, and perhaps some of the audience would head over.
Because like you said, let these guys shine on that, because that's what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
You did the Cruiserweight Cup, whatever. You had this big thing. You made the world introduced to him. Like, first of all, I don't know why y'all act like Cruiserweights were the first time ever to happen in this company, when Crash Holly was one of the longest reigning Cruiserweight champions ever. But you had all this, and then you're like, all right, we're going to put him on Raw. I get you trying to do the whole Raw audience, but it takes away. Like I said, you give them, that Cedric Alexander Noam Dar match could have been longer. But again, we know the whole thing was leading up.
We knew what they were doing.
We knew what they were doing, but they could have them do more. Then to have the what happens later with Neville and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You got 205 Live for this.
Yeah.
And Zeno Hour, he agrees. He does not like the in-ring changes. And AJ0314 says, if only they had a strictly exhibition-style tournament for the Cruiserweight.
If only they did.
If only there was some kind of...
Cruiserweight classic.
That sounds like a good
name. I mean, that aired specifically on the WWE Network.
That feels like that would ring a bell.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up the best Cruiserweights from around the world.
Yeah, oh, man.
Even though they all live in the United States. I mean, because like I was like, represent Pakistan. I was like, this dude is down the street from my buddy in Chicago.
Yeah,
but yeah, I get it. But it's just, I would like for them. You brought this whole 205 Live division for a reason.
Yeah.
Let this be what it is, and put something behind it. Of course, we don't see what they putting behind the UK program because it's the UK. That's their own thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got this here for a reason. Do something with it.
Yeah, and Jay, I can speak to last time they were in town, I went to SmackDown, the 205 Live taping, and we were falling asleep during 205 Live because SmackDown was so boom, 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 because they fit so much into a two-hour thing.
There you go.
And despite being like amazing matches, we were passing out in our seats, and people were leaving. If they I know they're trying to focus on the live part, but if they record 205 Live to be before SmackDown and then play it,
exactly,
that, I think that would solve all their problems.
Because you remember they used to do that back in the day. Remember you used to do like the Sunday Night Heats, the main events, the velocities,
superstars.
Yeah, those were all taped before SmackDown and before Raw. Like, those are all pre-taped, so you had that full house already.
Yeah.
Do that with 205 Live. This way you give all these guys a fighting chance. They got a packed house to work in front of. Put the main roster on notice, because that's what NXT does, and it's not even on the same day. They be in different buildings. NXT's like, here you go. He gonna take over. Yeah. Now, go ahead and have your SummerSlam. Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So, that's just my thought.
Yeah. My man Zeno Hour. He has a plan. He says, my idea, move 205 Live to 8 o'clock on the USA Network, then Raw back to 2 hours. USA still gets 3 hours of WWE programming.
That sounds really smart.
My man is using networks. Like, he's got a plan.
He didn't wrote treatments up. Yeah. Like, look, here's your stuff. He didn't wrote up treatments. Like, listen, this is your champion right here. This is how long he holds the belt. This is who he drops it to. Now, the reason he drops it to this person, this other cruiserweight wants to come in. We bring in Kalisto, who all of a sudden, he gets angry. Rey Mysterio. Heel angry. The heel nobody trusted.
Yeah.
Go ahead and move out east. You know, you got this.
Yeah, continue on with Raw. We have Bray Wyatt. He comes out for his promo. And
you mean the hipster?
Yeah, his look has changed from you know, down and out.
Yes,
you know, swamp preacher.
I really love, like, as like a guy who loved the Deliverance angle. I hate seeing this devolve more and more. I was smarking.
You didn't like the Wailing. I love the Wailing Mercy 2.0. What he was.
I was smarking out for House of Horrors. Like, people were like, "That's cheesy," but I'm like, I like this cheesy. I miss supernatural WWE and they have powers, and then they had him using the ring and he was seeing maggots, but somehow he still lost. Like, you can't use magic and lose, just don't use magic then. But like, you know, then he's finally getting his win. It feels like they're building him up to something good, and then now we're slowly seeing his clothes turn into denim jackets and patchwork.
He's going from battle mage to a bard.
Yeah,
kind of feels like that. Nerd moment. Sorry.
I'm the nerd face of fear.
Yes,
but this is scared of me.
Yeah, he goes, humanity is guilty for mistaking intelligence with knowledge. The world is ending, collapsing under the weight of its own skin. Those who deny me will be judged. Those who sit in pathetic apathy will pay with their guilt. And he's, of course, talking about Seth Rollins. In fact, he's gloating over Seth Rollins. If you take my name in vain, you will fall.
I feel like the new Wyatt family should just be members in the audience passing out pamphlets. Would you like to join Church Wyatt? Would you like to join Church Wyatt?
I like the Church of Wyatt. I join the Church of Wyatt. I like Bray Wyatt.
I mean, I do.
You know, I like how much fun he has in the ring. I feel like they need to utilize him better. But then I have been saying this for, it feels like, forever.
Yeah.
Because they could have had him as their next, you know, Prince of Darkness type of a thing. They had an opportunity when he went up against Undertaker to have him take Undertaker down, and they decided not to. to do that. So,
I thought he was going to take him down, but I understand why they did want to do it right away, because that is the year after
the streak. That was the year after the streak loss.
So they don't want him to go into the losing streak, but I thought he was going to beat him and then recruit him and then, like, make him his, like, dark prince.
Yo, they did the Ministry of Darkness angle again. Bray Wyatt was his apprentice.
Exactly.
I'd be A-okay with that.
I would have been fine with all the sacrifices.
Yes. Rollins does come out, and Rollins has some truths for Bray Wyatt, if I like calling him a thin-skinned coward, you know.
You mad because I called you some names?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I called you some names?
So Bray says that he's going to slay the Kingslayer, and then it cuts to, oh, there's video cuts. Oh, it's Bray's video cuts. Wait, no, Bray has disappeared out of the ring, and he's on the Tron, calls himself a god, and that's it.
But remember, you can't be using magic and losing, my man. You better come out with a win.
Shouts out to Bray Wyatt's cardio.
Yeah, he had to book it.
Because it got dark. Look, him didn't know exactly where to run and be right back on the side to cut the rest of his
promo. Look, I had a friend who went to Vegas to see the Chris Angel Cirque du Soleil show. And there was a bit in the show where he, like, teleported. And she said, you saw, like, the poof, and it went dark, but you could hear his footsteps running. And then you see him on the other platform just out of breath, like,
like, I did it. All right, so we have Charlie backstage with the Hardy Boys. It's a 2 out of 3 fall tag team championship match that is going to happen. And we hear that Team Extreme doesn't avoid daunting tasks. They confront it and jump off of it.
Of course,
Sheamus and Cesar are the bar, but we're going to break the bar. So we go on to Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil versus Kalisto Part 4. So Titus O'Neil is trying to recruit Akira Tozawa and set him in the front row for this match. And, oh, hey, here you go. These are really good VIP tickets right here.
There you go. And nobody else bought these seats.
Nobody else. They didn't move anybody out of that seat. So Kalisto for this match actually comes out, you know, he's Kalisto. He comes out really strong against Apollo Crews. I know we have tilt-a-whirl, head scissors, you know, low kicks, high kicks, everything. Apollo does stop that momentum at a certain point with the suplex, but Kalisto kicks out it too. Kalisto utilizes the top rope, but Apollo Crews stops the fireworks with, it was just a well-placed powerbomb for the W. So, I mean, Titus then grabs Akira Tozawa from, like, right across the barricade, drags him into the ring because it's selfie time. Akira's not really feeling it, but, you know, neither was Apollo before. So is this a new addition to the Titus brand?
I have a theory they should do, and it's only based off the fact that Apollo Crews don't stop smiling. Send him over to SmackDown and put him with the New Day.
Oh, he just came from SmackDown.
Put him back. Because, again, he's so positive. Like, I can't see Apollo Crews as a heel.
Yeah.
You can't see him as a heel. And so him being all cheesy and bald-headed and black, with Big E being cheesy and with a half a fade and black, and Xavier Woods being cheesy and an uncurly afro and black, and Kofi Kingston being either Ghanaian or Jamaican, but he black. Like, just put them together and all that power, positivity. And what about Titus O'Neil? Man, have him join up with Heath Slater and Rhino. Do something.
Oh, you know, you remember when they had Slater Gator?
Yeah. Yo, first of all,
they lost it when that big bunny got involved, though.
If anybody is watching this and knows of anybody in any black fraternities, I know a bunch of people who are mighty men of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated who were like, if he goes and has Slater do that one more time, because Heath Slater throwing the hooks and ruin like the Qs. I know a lot of Qs was like,
yeah, oh, there it is.
I was like,
wow. I was not feeling it when you do the oorah, oorah, oorah. I don't know. It was like seal calls to me. But I'm glad that he has, you know, he has love for his fraternity. I do respect that. But speaking of Slater and Rhino, we have The Miz backstage. Rhino, of course, is eating crackers. They look like Ritz crackers and Cheese Whiz.
Been the catering.
He's coming up in the world.
He is. He's getting fancy. He's got name brand now.
Used to be saltines. Now he's up to them Ritz.
Yeah, there you go. When you're up to the Ritz.
Because Slater got kids.
He needs his job. So Miz says how, you know, they used to be tag team champs on SmackDown Live. Miz wants Heath to join join his entourage. You know, he made him a big star in Marine 5 Battleground. So Heath says, oh, I might be interested, but I want a shot at Intercontinental Champion. And Miz, like, sure, I can give you a shot someday. Rhino isn't really having it. In fact, Miz says, so do you want caviar with A-listers or cheese whiz with losers? But Rhino isn't feeling it. He says, Miz better find a tag team partner because there is going to be a match later. And that does happen.
Who is this? Is this Teddy Long? Because you're going to be in action later in a tag team match.
Okay, we'll do it now. We can do it now.
No, just had to do it for that cue.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to need the Miz to stop bringing up the Marine 5 Battleground like more than seven people saw that movie.
Well, I think that's the funniest thing about him, like, using that angle, especially when he's up against someone like Cena. Like, it was like, you're dissing him when you're doing the fifth version of
the movie
he
starred.
Of his movie.
It's fun. So we have Alexa Bliss comes out to the ring. You know, last week Alexa did have a Nia Jax problem. Alexa's solution was DQing herself by hitting Dana Brooks on the outside of the ring, and therefore her title was defended. She brings this up because she says in Extreme Rules she defeated Bayley, so with the kendo stick on a pole match, and she was forced to defend her title against Nia, so she doesn't have to defend anything tonight. And then Nia comes out and is like, forced? I thought we were friends. You know, in her Nia way.
Yeah.
And in there was
valley,
a lot of...
In her Valley Girl way?
Yeah. In her Nia way. So there was a lot of backpedaling from Alexa. No, we're friends. We're friends with Nia. Mickie James, 6 times women champions, comes out on the mic. What are you talking about, you little dwarf? Her words. And Dana Brooke is also out there saying to Nia how Alexa is not a friend. And then we have everybody comes out. We have Evil Emma in her aviator glasses and purple lipstick glory. We've got Sasha entering. And Sasha has some words to say, but what we really pay attention to is that she clocks the ever-loving stuffing out of Alexa with mic in hand. And then we will have... a 6-woman
tag team match.
Coming to get it on. Run a circle, Iffy. Run a circle real quick.
But it's like Iffy was saying earlier, though. I get we were leading up to that tag team match, but did we need to have initially all 6 women in the ring?
No.
You could have had the whole Alexa Bliss Sasha thing.
Yeah, but we want them to have some camera time.
I mean, that's...
There's also that. Yeah. They really did jazz up Mickie James's gear for this particular Raw than what they had with her before. So they were paying attention.
Shouts out to AJ0314 in the chat room. They said Baby D, a.k.a. Nia Jax, speaks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is a great... Great.
Shouts out for the next Friday reference.
Yeah. How about the fact that they announced another Friday and Baby D is back in it?
Yeah, they're doing it.
They doing the same bit.
They're recycling everything from all 3 movies.
I know. They're like, scoop it up. What we got? We can't get Chris Tucker.
All right, we still got Mike Epps. Mike Epps ain't doing nothing. Get him real quick. They canceled Uncle Buck. Get Mike.
Oh, man. Oh. So we've got Nia and Emma and Alexa versus Dana, Mickie, and Sasha. You know, it starts off, you know, Alexa and Dana are in a neck lock in the middle of the ring. You know, Emma gets tagged in, starts working over Dana, cheap-shotting Mickie. Sasha gets tagged in, and Emma actually goes for a tag to Alexa, and Alexa walks away. She's good. She doesn't have to defend
that's
anything.
That's a heel move right there.
She walks away and goes right up the ramp. Right, and Emma's just looking at her like, what?
Well, she should have told Emma, you still got to prove yourself. Like, you can't get your gimmicks together. Like, you don't know what you want to be. Like, but I love Alexa Bliss is a true heel in every sense of the word. You drop down, walk off. I don't need this.
Yeah, and it's a short match after that. I mean, we have Mickie James jumping from the top rope onto Nia Jax, but basically Emma has to tap out on the bank statement because Sasha locks that in real quick. Yeah.
You know what I love is a part of the business is when, like, everybody's like, oh, these matches are fixed, this and the third. It's choreographed, whatever. When you got to figure out who takes the fall, it's real easy to look at that team. You got Sasha Banks, Mickie James, and Dana Brooke. You know they're going over. They're going up against Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, and Emma. They're just like, yeah, you taking this. you know you tapping, right?
Yeah.
Emma was like, but my glasses. You tapping. You know this, right?
My glasses. take the glasses off before the match. Because you're about to tap.
Put them glasses to the side. Don't keep them up. I just, again, I get what you're saying. I love the fact that, again, I will keep praising these women week in and week out because their work ethic is amazing. Mm-hmm. Character development is a whole different ballgame. A lot of the characters aren't developed. In-ring work, yo, you can't,
yeah,
you can't knock them. But once Ember Moon comes up and Asuka comes up, somebody in trouble.
They see some Ember.
I'm telling you right now, they are sandbagging them so hard because they know the moment those two leave, they don't have a women's division.
They know it's over.
But look, I wanted Asuka, obviously, to come up way before Shinsuke. I was like, leave Shinsuke, bring up Asuka. We need some Asuka. But right now, they have a handful of women they don't know what to do with. They're like, yo, you gotta stay back, Asuka. You gotta stay back. We ain't got room.
They told Asuka, they was like, listen. They sat down and was like, look, this is what's really happening. You know, you gotta ask somebody, look, we really want you to go up. We believe in you, everything. However, if you leave, who is she gonna work?
There is
that. Wait a minute, what do you mean everybody else? No, who is she gonna work? Now, shouts out to Ruby Riott. Shouts out to I'll call it Crazy Mary Dobson. People I know, I get it, but y'all haven't proven yourself yet to be that main roster caliber yet. I know you ladies can work. I know it to the heart. I've watched what you do over the years. But you got Ember Moon, who when she came in, everybody was like, oh, yeah, dear God. And Asuka just spoke for herself. They was like, you know, Asuka's 35. Everybody's like, she not going to do, oh, she does all that. And it's like you said, they bring them up, it's over.
There you go.
It's over.
And,
and continuing with the women's division, we have Corey Graves. He interviews Bayley, and it's about Extreme Rules. I'm glad that they did this interview because we all wanted to know this. No?
And say it again with more feeling, though.
Yeah, we all needed to know this. Be like, why didn't you go extreme on Extreme Rules? And Bayley opens up. She does say that she has never been in a match or a situation like that before. She's here to put smiles on people's faces, not bruises on their backs. Mm. Everything that she gives to the ring and to the fans is, it's me. I'm not changing who I am. I'm giving the best version of me. So Corey asks her, so what does the future hold for Bayley with that particular mindset, you know, as a wrestler? And then she says that she started 9 years ago, and first day of training in her journal, she wrote, I want to be the best. But she wants a certain type of legacy. Basically, beating on Alexa with a kendo stick isn't it. She says that you can do it your own way, and she's a hugger and ends with hugging Corey Graves. How do we feel about this interview?
I feel like this is WWE putting her in the toy section, and what I mean by the toy section is you're for the kids. You get stuck up there on the shelf with John Cena, and you're never gonna do anything that makes your angle complex. You're gonna stay happy, friendly, and fun, so they can sell T-shirts and toys with your face on them. So that's what that was. That was, you know, letting the smarks know, like, yep, that's what we doing. Or more like this, yep, that's what we're doing. Give us.
But you don't get the name pay-per-views, Vince.
Yeah.
You don't get pay-per-views. Yeah, I agree hard. That's all it is. It's just, she's your, you know what, every little girl, there's Wonder Woman, and now we need to resell this Bayley merchandise real quick.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, after like last week, weekend before last, when Wonder Woman came out, Bayley's merch sales dropped because all those hugger bands and bracelets went to silver bracelets and tiaras and shields, which rightfully so.
Yeah.
But Vince is like, she's a hugger. She's not a bad girl.
No, yeah. he's the thing of it is that she's like Gabby from season one of Xena Warrior Princess. Oh. You know, in season one, you know, she's like a hugger, you know. She's very much a bard. She's very much a scholar. Mm-hmm. She's trying to figure out her path of the friend, so to speak. But mm-hmm. then by the time that you get around to the later seasons, it's like she's still Gabrielle, but she's a warrior. I would have actually kind of appreciated that with Bayley, you know, bringing the business when the business needs to be brought.
That's a real deep cut, Marquia.
Thank you. Nerd moment. Yes.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the way the WWE's priorities works is pushing Roman Reigns, selling T-shirts.
Cena shirts. Cena shirts.
Cena shirts. That's all it is. Like, that's all that, merch. Selling all merch. And then it's ruining Bray Wyatt for Iffy.
For Iffy and everyone else.
Then it's, you know, talk shows. And then it's building story and great roster.
And somehow figuring out how do we keep Peter Rosenberg on shows and for what reason. Because I'm still mad about that. I'm just going to say that. I get his other following, but I was like, yo, everybody was just like, no, they're going to throw Peter Rosenberg dead in here.
And the next segment of Raw, though, is actually my personal favorite. I actually had a lot of fun with this segment. It's Heath Slater and Rhino versus The Miz. But Miz needs a tag team partner. We don't know who it's going to be. And then we hear it was this very happy music with bear icons all over the
Tundron.
Yeah,
it was like the bear emoji. I felt like
emoji.
I love who I was got to do the Tundron for that and make the music real quick. Hey, the bear needs some music.
Yeah. We need some music for the bear, but it can't be copyrighted.
Right.
Not copyrighted music.
Make some make entrance music for the bear. Could you imagine getting that? You wake up, you check you the producer, you the new producers. I can't remember the guys' names. And you wake up, you're like, all right, man. Who we got? We got a new batch of. All right, we got to make some. Let me see who we got to do today. All right, we got to do this in NXT. We got to do this SmackDown and Bear. Wait, the Bear says priority. Hold on, I think I'm asleep.
So, it's like, nope, there's a bear. So, when Miz and Maryse came in, Maryse is still mad from last week. That grandfather clock, that took her a whole year to save up for to get for him. So, no kisses for Miz during the entire opening. So,
Markia loved that. She was like, she's still mad.
She's still mad. It's like, she's real mad. Yeah, so... Yeah, and so the congratulations bear from last week was the Miz's
was like 6 foot seven
tag team partner.
Yeah, also, you know, Joseph Boza said the commentary team made him hate this match. I'm assuming those bear puns were unbearable.
A lot of bear puns, you know, but they kept it simple. They kept it down to the bare necessities. So it was just. I've got more. You just looked at me like that. So, for the match itself,
they got no Booker T puns because they didn't get Booker the script on those. Corey Graves and Michael Cole just took over. Booker was like, where's mine? Don't worry about that.
We don't need Drew.
No, the commentary was going crazy. They had Revenant jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Big John Cub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot. So the match itself, Heath tries for a quick roll-up. Miz kicks out at two. And Miz was actually trying to come to an agreement with Heath in the middle of the ring. He's like, hey, let's just do this. Let's just be part of my entourage. Nah, didn't really happen. And then the Louisiana audience got involved with it again and says, we want Bear. They started that chant. So they're trading blows in the ring. Rhino gets tagged in. And Slater gets off the top rope onto Miz, but eventually the bear tags himself in.
Hey, the bear held on. First of all, the bear's holding on to the tag team rope. First of all, that's good training right there. Corey was like, did you train the bear? It's like, the bear's holding on to the tag rope. The bear come in, house of fire. Like, so shout out to this bear. He know what he doing.
Yeah. I mean, he wraps. He wraps. The Miz, no wait, no, the bear does it. Yeah, all I'm thinking, all I have is like lines of puns that they use, like where he's barely legal. I was giggling to myself the entire time that they were saying all this. He grabs Heath Slater, the bear doesn't, delivers a bear hug. Rhino jumps out from the side of the ring, gets a quick hit to the kidneys. The bear doesn't like the taste of that, so goes to tag Miz back in, and Miz finally snaps because he's been paranoid this entire time that it's actually Dean Ambrose and starts wailing on the outside of the ring against the bear, and he rips off the mascot's head, and it is another random guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not Dean Ambrose. So Rhino slings Miz back into Slater, delivers a beautiful boot to the face, and the bear rolls back into the ring. The bear does the dirty deeds on Slater. Maryse is like, wait, she sees the dirty deeds. She tries to run the Miz. Miz is like, turn around, look, turn around. Ambrose makes a fake at Miz. Maryse gets knocked off of the side of the ring, and she's even more angry. She's gone. We're not getting the running gif, but it's kind of like a... Resident Evil leg drag.
I was so mad because the cameraman wasn't in position for this one. Because we would have had it had he been in the right position. He was in front of her and not behind her. Because she's doing this time she's running like that on purpose. Because she's got on her gear. So she can move. She was doing that same little grandmama, I got something on the stove, but I got a pee run.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jesus, help me out, baby. Help me. Father God, help me.
And the Miz is calling after her, but she's not coming back. And then he turns around, dirty deeds to the Miz.
Yeah.
Ambrose then places Slater on top of the Miz. I got kids. I need this job for the W.
Yeah.
And then after that, Ambrose
Say that again.
I got kids. I need this job. For the W.
I love how she looked at the camera. I got kids. I need this job.
So Ambrose puts the bear mask on Miz and struts off. This upcoming Sunday, we have Money in the Bank. That's happening. You know, we got to watch that. There's two really incredible matches that are going to be there. One is the women's ladder match. So looking forward to that.
Historic match.
And then also, after that, there will be the Raw exclusive Great Balls of Fire. That's gonna happen. So we have Neville versus Rich Swann next, and Rich Swann is in rare moves like he usually is, and he's feeling himself.
He has
brand new blazer, this visor that kind of looks like Jordy LaForge. I love it. And he's just dancing, singing. And then during Swann's dancing intro, Neville beat that butt.
He wailed
on him.
Oh yeah. He didn't even get to finish his shimmy. He was mid-shimmy, and he got hit. I was like, no man should be hit mid-shimmy.
You let that man finish his shimmy.
I know, you finish.
Yeah, there is no bell. It's all beat down. Yeah. You know, Neville just devastates him, then gets on the mic, tells Swann to get out of his ring, you know, calling out beatdowns that he also did to TJP, Austin Aries, and then he warns Akira Tozawa. It's like, it takes more than a cute tweet from Titus O'Neil to be cruiserweight champion.
You know how much they got to cover? They got to change them covers after every time Neville talks. You ever watch how much he spits in a cruiserweight? You'd be like, oh, this is wet. Oh, this is so wet.
I know, it's like a dance. This is done.
Yeah, earlier, Iffy showed us a meme where it had
Neville right next to Smeagol, so you can see that. He's really just, you know, Smeagol after a good workout program for me, DM me for rates. Please. I got kids as well. I need this money.
The way it's the same phone call. DM me for rates. I get you looking like Neville. Hairline and all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm going to hit you with my barber. It's a package deal. You sit in the seat and get cut up.
So we have Charlie backstage with Sheamus and Cesaro. And she's interviewing them about their upcoming Hardy Boys match. And they say the key to defeating your opponents is to know your opponents. So Cesaro even read the Hardy Boys book. Exist to Inspire, but now they're going to inspire the Hardy Boys to write a sequel called Exist to Retire.
Hey, man, we had this discussion of what are the Hardys now? Because the Hardys are legendary. This is a Hall of Fame tag team. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If anybody says they're not, you're a fool. They have transcended the game, tag team game. They've elevated the tag team division in many ways. However, bringing them back at WrestleMania was great. Now, you're not, Vince knows he's not going to be able to give the people what they want. We're not going to get Brother Nero and Broken Matt. Are they just meant to be tag champions, or are they meant to just help keep pushing this tag team division?
I think we going to get it eventually, but I think like I was saying earlier, they're just deliberating trying to get that rate. You know, I feel like they can bargain with the rate, because the longer that they hold it, the longer they stall, the more people are going to want it. So it's really going to make it worth however much money they're going to pay, TNA to get it. TNA owns it, right?
TNA.
Okay, yeah. It's TNA.
So, and you know, and we also know what's going on with TNA. So TNA is probably trying to get the most money for it, you know? So I think that's where it is where it's like, look, they got them, but they're still working on the deal and they're just stalling. And I think, you know, they're, by having them in the spotlight as much without doing it, it is also WWE's way of saying, like, we don't need it. you know, so you can give us a low rate. Mm-hmm. I feel like they, because I feel like they don't need it. Like, if by the end of this, because people are going to keep watching because they want it to happen, they're thinking it's going to happen, they're expecting it to happen. Mm-hmm. So we can go this whole run and never have that happen, but people would watch up until the end because they're expecting it. So I think, yeah, I think it really is a money thing more than anything.
Okay. That makes sense.
So we have Enzo and Cass versus Gallows and Anderson. You know, Enzo's music, Enzo and Cass's music hits, but they're nowhere to be found. What's going on? Oh, Big Cass has been ambushed in the backstage. He was hit the hardest he's ever been hit from behind. He says one hit took him down. Gallows and Anderson have jokes in the ring. Yeah. So then we try again, and then Enzo and Cass's music goes up. They come out. Big Cass is selling that he's hurt bad, but Cass is also angry and he's on fire once he gets in the ring. He's throwing boots to Anderson. There's a lot of damage. Empire elbow, watch out. Tags Enzo in, and then Enzo even does a little damage.
Just a little before they start beating the brakes off Enzo.
It was not good.
They started, they did, I don't a know, lot of, what did Enzo say backstage? And they was like, oh, you finna feel all of this. Yes. Because Carl Anderson was like, take all this boot to the face.
Yeah. No. Yes, he was. Yeah,
stomping, I think, on the, his head, everything.
Yeah, the one good thing that Enzo did was that he got the feet out from under Gallows on the outside, you know, making his head hit the apron. Yeah. And then that was about it. Everything else was, you know, head stomp city.
I was like, oh.
So yeah, Gallows gets tagged in and he literally kicked Enzo out of the air at one point. That happened. And it ends with the Magic Killer, you know, G&W get the W. G&A get the W.
I was like,
G&W.
I just want to know, how much pain pills, how many pain pills do they give Enzo on standby as soon as he come back behind the curtain? Man. Like, they have a cup of them just ready for him. Like,
I know, he's stumbling in the ground. Give me that cup.
Somebody's like, look, they got a PA in the back. They're like, look, have this ready. Who's it for? Enzo. Is he going to need it? Trust me, he will.
He will need it. Have a medic on standby. Yes, and after the match is over, they actually go for another Magic Killer against Enzo. But Big Show comes out, and he comes to the aid of Enzo. And Big Cass is not feeling that.
Yeah. I just want to see the Big Show run to the ring one time in my life. I get it. I get the whole, he's 7 feet tall. Run. Just a little. Just a jog. Anybody?
Do you want him to be able to talk when he gets to wherever he's going?
He ain't got
to
talk.
Well, you ain't going to see that.
I just want to, because like by that time, because think about it, technically speaking, you could, if I'm Gallows and Anderson, the Big Show is walking to the ring. Oh, I got time to keep whooping on dudes some more. Yeah. Like, I'm not in that much of a rush, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not in a rush to stop. No, I'm going to sit here and look while he walks his ring. No, give him a third Magic Killer real quick. Just while he walks, just so he can see it while he's walking. Oh, no, you got 30 more steps. Yeah. Hit him up real quick.
Kind of like he's Jason and be like, oh, no, we still have time. Oh, no, we don't have to run.
No, we got, you know what? Go on there, pick up that chair real quick. What are we going to do? Have a seat.
Which brings us to a Truth Be Told production. Our Truth, what we've got here is a failure to communicate, Cool Hand Luke 1967.
The fact all three of us stopped talking that moment when it came, we were like, oh no, this is Truth Be Told for done.
Yes.
You know, some of us had our headphones off. We popped them in. We were ready
to go.
We're going to watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has some 70s style music in the background. It's all black and white. Yeah, it's basically Goldust stabbed him in the back, and he's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
Goldie! You was my baby. You was my brother. How you attack my family? How you around my kids, Goldie? I'm mad.
I'm not going to take it.
You're not going to take it, Goldie.
So we have Enzo and Big Show backstage. And Enzo just, he needs to know. I mean, it was one blow to take out Big Cass. You know, he hates to ask, but he kind of has to ask, was it Big Show? Big Show is not feeling that because he says, this is 2 weeks now that you've brought this up. And oh, no, wait, I understand. It's not you saying this. It's your partner. And I've got one word to describe him.
Well!
The Big Show.
I just want to see the Big Show in a soft t-shirt. I just want to see him in a giant size S-A-W-F-T. Because when he spelled it last week, it sounded like it hurt it. Yeah. It sounded like all his lungs were like, we don't have as much air. Like, we shouldn't be expanding this much to go soft. Like, his lungs were like, stop it.
Man. So we have Mike Rome with Samoa Joe. Heyman and Brock are playing in Samoa Joe's plan, apparently. He says it's not about actions. It's about actions, not words. And that's why he sent the advocate back with the same wounds that he was going to deliver to the Beast.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice. So we now have our Raw main event, which is the 2 out of 3 Falls Tag Team Championship match. It's Matt and Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus and Cesaro, also known as Cesaro.
Where's the beads in Sheamus's beard? Bring back the beads.
I love that the tag team naming team is just from Tumblr. it's Cesaro.
Cesaro.
It's Big Kenzo.
Well, remember, because I guess it was this thing where when you put people together, there was somehow there was a name generator or whatever. Again, R-Truth and Goldust were the golden truth.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Even when The Miz and The Truth were together, it was the Awesome Truth.
Yeah.
So they had names. And it's like, you just get a Sheamus and Cesaro, and you're like, what name can we give them that doesn't sound racist? Because remember, they were part of the, what was the thing? They were the League of Nations.
League of Nations.
But, of course, Alberto Del Rio screwed all that up. And
yeah.
He made what it was like. We kind of need you.
Yeah, you're the nation.
Yeah.
They were the League of Nations. It's like, yo, we can't go back to being the League of Nations because it's only two of us. It's not really a league.
That's not a league. That's a partnership.
That's a partnership. That's just some allies.
Partnership of nations.
And we can't be allied powers because they've done that back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Certain names they try to think of, but they've been done. So they're just like, Cesaro.
Cesaro. There you go. It works. But for this 2 out of 3 falls match, okay, so congratulations, Bearer match was my favorite segment. This was absolutely the match of the night, in my opinion. Absolutely.
Oh, boy. I mean, like I said right after it, it's been a real long time since I've seen a belt on the line on a Raw or SmackDown and actually, like, thought it might be exchanged, you know? And this was one where I was like, oh, I was on this, you know, just who's going to win it? Just so many kickouts. Like, you normally don't see this many kickouts unless it's a pay-per-view. And they went for it, and they were just, you know, Matt, the Hardys can make anyone look good, but also Cesaro are great wrestlers anyway, so it was just a great match. This is like was the perfect match to end on. This is how you end a Raw.
This was the epitome of tag team wrestling. It was beautifully done. It was a beautiful tag team match. Match of the night, yes, for sure. There was nobody even close.
Yeah.
There was nobody even close. And the way they did it, again, your first fall comes real quick.
It does. Yeah, we had Matt and Jeff team up on Sheamus at some poetry in motion in the corner, but Sheamus answered with a bro kick to Jeff's heart.
Jeff done too much drugs. You can't be kicking Jeff in the heart like that. Jeff done a lot of cocaine over the years.
So the first fall went to Sheamus, and Jeff catapult kicked it. I mean, how sweet. Catapult kicked him out of the ring. Tried to do it a second time. Yeah. Got him into the corner. So, and then kicking Sheamus into Cesaro. So Cesaro tags in. Then Matt Hardy repeatedly just pummeled Cesaro's head onto the turnbuckles.
I love that multiple times. I love that spot always.
Love. So Sheamus then did a combo bro kick. It was a bro kick and a knee kick to the face against Matt. But actually, Matt ended up kicking out of it.
No. That's all I feel like is just no.
As soon as he hit the mat, I wanted to be like, count your teeth, baby. Count your teeth.
Because, you know, he was looking from the turnbuckle, his brother, like, yo, man. I'm speaking from experience. Suck them teeth.
I saw that. I was like, there's no way. Like, I get we want to put on the best match possible. We the main event of Monday Night Raw, which is also, in many instances, bigger than some pay-per-views to be the main event of Monday Night Raw. But, like, yo, so I'm Sheamus. It's Sheamus. I'm Matt Hardy. And Sheamus is like, yo, I'm going to hit you with the spot. What you going to do? I'm going to hit you with a short bro kick. Then I'm going to bounce immediately back off the rope and hit you with a knee. Where you going to hit me with this knee? In the face. What face? You only have one face. Why my face?
Why? Man? Come on, why are you trying to do this?
What do you have to prove? Like,
yeah. Man, but it looked good. It was a great spot.
It was a great match.
Yeah, it was great. But Matt kicks out at 2 with that one. So Cesaro's tagged in. He covers Matt, interrupted by Jeff, though, so that didn't work. So he tries for the neutralizer, denied again. But he does get the sharpshooter in. Unfortunately, Matt does get to the rope. So Sheamus gets tagged in, where Jeff does an inverted atomic bomb, atomic drop on Sheamus, and almost pins him, interrupted by Cesaro. But Sheamus then launches Jeff onto the top rope. While the refs were, you know, they had their back turned, Cesaro delivered a beautiful uppercut to him at the time.
That was another great spot. It just was so fluid that you were just like, you know, it's so funny because, you know, smarks were always like, we know this is fake. This is choreographed. And once again, and I'd say to an extent, I don't want to undermine these people putting their body on the line.
Thank you. I speak for all wrestlers in the world. But
they are being safe. But when you see it come off so clean, you can't help but go, ooh, because it looks.
Even the guys in the back, the guys and the girls in the back, when you're watching on a monitor and you're really into a match and you see that, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Somebody go, please. Yeah. Somebody do this. You just want a ref to do this real quick. Those are the
check in on them.
Because, I agree. It's like, it's so fluid. It's just so, boom, boom, and it's so crisp. And you're like, oh, there's no air. There's no separation. Yeah. There's nothing. You just see, this is an actual battle, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah. We do actually get a, I didn't write it down, but we actually did get a pin from Matt and Jeff that they took out.
Yeah, because there was one where I believe it was Matt covering Sheamus, and then it was right by the rope, and Cesaro pulled him out to the bottom, and just Sheamus's whole body just slapped the floor, just like plop. I was like, oh, did you have to pull me so hard?
I know, he's like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's when Matt goes back in and he hits a twist of fate on Cesaro, and then gets a pin on him, and then after that, when Jeff does a swanton bomb onto Sheamus. Yeah, and then Cesaro pulls him out of the ring. But Matt and Jeff, they go 2-on-1 on Cesaro on the outside of the ring. You know, then we just have straight out brawling on the outside, and the match ends in a double count out.
Beautiful way for it to end. It's still open ended. I just don't know how long you keep this going with them. Granted, WrestleMania was only in April, and we are only in June. Mm-hmm. But with all the Raws, all the pay per views we've seen, it seems like this program is going on forever, and I get it. Now they're trying to build legitimate storylines, but you still have to build these other tag teams around it. You need Gallows and Anderson to be doing something, because this Enzo and Cass thing is not going to cut it for them. You got the Revival about to come back soon. Then that's pretty much it with your tag. You got Slater and Rhino, but you're not going to use them for, let's just be honest,
You're not
using them for anything serious. I'll be honest. As much as I have respect for Rhino, one of my role models from the reason I got in the business, I told him that to his face. I still tear up about it. But you're not using them two for anything serious.
Yeah.
You know, you...
But then when was the last time they used Heath Slater for something serious?
Because he got kids. He needs his job.
Yeah.
But it's just that... You're trying to build up so many different divisions. I get it. You're trying to build the cruiserweights, like we said earlier. Yeah. You're building up the women's. You're building up the tag. Well, you need tag teams.
Yeah.
Again, I still don't understand to this day. I mean, people try to justify, why do you have a 3-hour program and you don't have 3 hours worth of stuff? You need more tag teams. Again, who do you bring up for NXT? You bring up the Authors of Pain from NXT, then what's left? Absolutely nothing. But it's like NXT is meant to be farmed out anyway.
Right.
Yeah. NXT is meant, and that's the hard thing to say about it. Like, you're like, yo, I don't want to see him leave NXT, but you're only, NXT is your minor, is your AA to the WWE. You're only meant to be there to come up. You got to start bringing these people up to start bringing more teams. And good, it's good you got the Hardys. But again, you're going to need more teams. You want this tag team division to be stronger.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me. I mean, you know, what SmackDown has is what SmackDown has, and this isn't a SmackDown show. But you don't have, you're not building it up right. I mean, you're focusing everything one way. You got Gallows and Anderson, who you pumped up so heavy when they were coming in. You gave them the belts, and now it's just like, what y'all doing? Pizza Hut commercials? So it's like, what are you going to do? What the Revival? Are they going to go with the Hardys?
That was Noam Dar that was doing the Pizza Hut commercial, just to say.
But was it really Noam Dar?
It started with him.
Or was it?
It started.
Or was it really?
Was it really?
Because he was just, don't tell folks. It was all about that. But it's like, I just want, the tag team division has always been something that's been personal and dear to my heart. And it's like, if you can build that division up, you can make individual stars out of that division. You build that up so strong. Because once you build it up so strong, only what can they do? Go singles. Again, the Hardys prove that. Jeff Hardy is a, what, 3-4-time WWE champion? You can never take that from him. But we won't mention it. They won't mention it again anymore. They may say it once or twice, but it's mainly not going to be what he does with his brother.
Right.
Build up that tag division.
I think that's absolutely true. You should do that.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, those are good thoughts. I mean, the match does continue. Well, it's over, but it's not over.
Or is this?
Because, you know, you can't let that go.
Yeah. We still got 5 minutes airtime on Raw.
There's nothing to let go there. Yeah, it ends when Jeff launches himself from the top rope onto Sheamus and Cesaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, they get the last laugh. They retain, and they're struggling, doing their own little shuffle up the ramp with their
belt. I love that Sheamus hugging the belt like a baby. No, you can't have it. It's mine.
But, yeah, they should build up the tag team. They should build up the women's, like if he was bringing up earlier. And then, yeah, I liked Zeno Hour's suggestion. Go ahead and put it up at the, yeah, that was those were good suggestions.
Cruiserweights earlier. It's like, you have so much potential. The WWE has this new, again, they go through these phases of eras, whatever they're calling them. This is the new era. You've brought in all these big top-tier indie stars. You put them on your platform. You've made some stars on your own. Now, you say you want to do this, do it. But again, Vince McMahon has to be willing to say, all right, I'll step back. Because his problem is he can't, no, I think I know what's best. And you kind of don't anymore. Again, you just named a pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire.
It's Great Balls of Fire.
Goodness gracious.
You just named a pay-per-view, yeah. Great Balls of Fire.
And they're going all in with all the advertising.
Oh, yeah. They put the balls on Brock. They put the fiery balls on Brock. Like,
there you go.
But build up these stars you got. You let Triple H him say, bring the Cruiserweight division back. You got it. You gave them a show. Put something behind that show. Give that show a reason to succeed. Oh, well, put it after SmackDown and people will want to stay. SmackDown is too high intense, too high impact and intense for it to follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it before. Put it before.
Yeah, just switch up the order a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, do we have any other thoughts about this Raw that happened tonight?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think we're good.
When will be the next time we see Brock Lesnar?
Oh, SummerSlam.
Great Balls of Fire.
Maybe SummerSlam.
Or WrestleMania.
Next WrestleMania.
The Monday before Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, we have to limit as many times as we use Brock, okay? He only got 14 appearances in a year.
Yeah.
That's pay-per-views and Raws. It's like,
you don't want to run out before you get to.
Man,
the only reason he showed up today at Raw is because Jimmy Johns was like, hey, based on our contract, you need to be out there with a Jimmy Johns t-shirt for about, you know, 10 minutes. That's your contract. He's like, he gets off the couch, the Brock size like silhouette in the couch as he gets up and he like slams a Jimmy John's sandwich and a Coors Light and he like throws it in the can. He's like, all right.
There we
time
go.
Time to go to work, damn it.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our Raw after show. So, Jay Washington, put yourself over.
Yeah, everybody, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Mr. Jay Washington, MrJayWashington. Make sure you check out the latest episode of the Trusty Sidekick Podcast with myself and Bobby Hill. Comes out tomorrow on all your podcast streaming sites. We got an epic 2-part crossover we did. And find my website, jaywashington.com, for my upcoming stand-up shows and dates. Got a lot of them coming out through the Los Angeles area and pretty soon back on the road. So that's how that happens.
What's up, yo? It's your boy, Iffy Waddy Way. Iffy's not funny on the Twitters and That Black Nerd on Instagram. You can catch me every Tuesday about from like 6 to 8 at HyperRPG, twitch.tv to HyperRPG. First, I have a Dragon Ball Z Super after show, live show type called Krillin' It Super. And after that, we have Ready to Ramble, where we talk about all types of wrestling. So if you liked this and you're like, I need more, which I assume because you watch 3 hours of wrestling, about six every week, come on down and come talk to us there. And yeah, you know, check out my stuff.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Markeia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. You can see me on Marvel Movie News every Tuesday on our sister network, Popcorn Talk. It's 2:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. And this upcoming Tuesday, we are starting the show with reactions to the Black Panther trailer that just came out.
Yes, Lord.
I had my reaction to it. It's pinned on my Twitter if you want to take a look at that. But we will be talking about that tomorrow. You can also find me on Screen Junkies periodically. And yeah, and Snapchat, Darth Thin Mints. Darth is in Vader, Thin Mints as in Girl Scout cookies. So, and Mark in the booth, do you have anything you want to say to the people?
I got a little bit of something. Make sure to follow all of our wrestling programming. We've got our Monday night show, which you're watching right now. Duh. Also, Tuesday night SmackDown. Wednesday night, our NXT show. Thursday night, Lucha Underground is back. And then, of course, tune in every Wednesday for X-Pac 12360. It is our show with Sean X-Pac Waltman. It's great every single week. This week is going to be no different. Make sure to tune in. And we've also got a Glow show coming up. So wait for news on that.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.